Well, good evening again, everybody. I want to start off tonight with a scripture. I quoted the scripture to you, I think, a week or two ago. It comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, and I'm reading to you from verse 8. It says, "Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. And whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake." You know, the world is full of people that like to dig pits for other people. What does that mean? What does it mean when you say that somebody's digging a pit for you? It means somebody has an agenda to bring hurt or pain or destruction or torment or whatever you want to call it into your life. So somebody is scheming for you to fall into that pit. Now, I just want to show you how God looks at things. You see, the thing is, we often have this thing, well, nobody knows what I'm doing. And if you fall into the pit, nobody's going to know I'm the one that dug the pit. I want to remind you of something. There's two people that you never fool. One is God, one is the devil. Because both of them know what's going on. And here's a word from God's very own word. It says, "Whoever digs a pit may fall into it." You know, there's a lot of people that like to cause problems for other people. And they have this thing that it's the other person that's going to be in trouble because I'm the one digging the pit. But the word of God says ultimately there will be a reversal. It's not the person that is intended to fall into the pit that will end up in the pit. It's the one digging the pit that will end up falling into the pit. You know, many times people come to me and they say, "Oh, Pastor, I'm so upset because this happened and that happened and these people are doing this and those people are doing that." I want you to have a little bit of peace. There is this, to some extent, invisible hand that is involved in the entire universe. It's called the hand of God. And the hand of God, the Bible says, is not too short to help and to intervene. And you know, right now, somebody is probably digging a pit for you. And probably they are tapping themselves on the shoulder and they are saying, "Oh wow, it's going to be so nice when so-and-so falls into this pit. And I'm going to have such a good time seeing them stuck down there." The word of God says, the one who digs the pit is the one that will ultimately end up in the pit. And now, let's take it one step further. We don't always know why we are in the pit. Because you see, the thing is, when people come for prayer, it's because they got problems, 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 problems. Nobody ever comes to me and says to me, "Pastor, pray for me because I'm doing so well." Hello? People don't. "Oh, Pastor, pray for me because I'm so blessed." People come and say, "Oh, Pastor, pray for me. I got problems. I got issues. I got drama. I've got, you name it." Now, the thing is, this is something that we would do well to understand. There are many times when we come and ask for prayer and we don't know why things are not happening, but we might have fallen into the pit that we were digging for somebody else. Because how do you know what the pit is? You don't really know. It's just a place where I can't go forward, I can't go backwards, I try and go this way, I try and go that way. Nothing wants to work for me. No doors want to open. I feel stuck. How many times do people come to me and say, "Please pray for me because I'm stuck. Nothing happens for me. I don't have doors opening for me. I just have problems." Well, that sounds a bit to me like a pit. But now we have to call a spade, and we have to say that there are times when we really are in the pit because we were digging a pit for somebody else. And we ended up falling in that pit. And now the only one that's having a good time is the devil. Now, how do we stop that from happening? Well, number one, we must stop digging pits for other people. You know what? Bless them that curse you. Bless and do not curse. For that is what you are called to, that by it you might inherit a blessing. It's a difficult thing because the human reaction is to, you gave me a hard time, I'm going to give you a much bigger hard time. You dug a small pit for me, I'm going to dig an even bigger pit for you. Well, that's not how it works. That's the worldly way of doing things. And if you're still stuck in the world, you better come and see me for prayer because you better enter the kingdom of God. And because we are part of the kingdom of God, we need to begin to act differently. We need to be different. You know, the Bible says we must be the salt and the light of this world. Whether you like it or not, whether you've realized it or not, the world is a very dark and gloomy place. Have you ever noticed that? The world is a dark place. Now the thing is, God put His Spirit in you. God allowed you to enter His kingdom so that the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ can work through you and you can bring light into other people's life. Amen? We must bring light. It means we must be different. And it's not that difficult. Because God never expected you to do it on your own. He says He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. He says He will empower you by the Holy Spirit. In fact, He says there will come a time, says the Lord, that I will remove your heart of flesh and I will give you a new heart and I will put my Spirit in you. The Spirit of God brings life. And when somebody is filled with the Spirit of God, they bring life wherever they go. Now let's look at the second part of that. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 8. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. In other words, stop digging pits for people because that will be your destiny. Then it says, whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Who's the snake? Don't point to your wife. I'm checking. Your wife is not even, yeah. Who's the snake? Satan is the snake. Who was the snake in the Garden of Eden? It was the devil. Now, the devil is the snake, and there's a lot of demons in this world. They are a snake, but the snake is the devil. Now, it says here, whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake, all right? A snake. The Bible says we have been given the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the evil one, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. Luke 10 verse 19. Hello? Now, when the Bible speaks of a snake, what is it generally speaking of? Is it speaking of a slithering thing cruising around on the floor that you see somewhere out there in the Gramadulas or in the bushveld? Or is it talking about a spiritual thing that is after you to destroy your life? It's talking about a spiritual thing that wants to bring destruction to your life. And they are real. You know, a lot of people have this attitude, the devil's not real, demons are not real, curses are not real, witchcraft is not real. Hello, the Bible treats it as real. There's no place in the Bible where it makes it out to be a fairy tale or a myth. It's a reality. And because these things are a reality, we need to understand how these things work. Why? So we can protect ourselves. So that we don't mess with things that can bring destruction to our life. Now it says there, whoever breaks through a wall. What is the purpose of a wall? Okay. How many of you built, okay, taking into account we live in Gauteng, and some of us live in Johannesburg, and some of us live in the south of Joburg. So how many of you built your 8-foot walls because they are aesthetically pleasing and you like the way it looks? I mean, here's how it looks. The other day I was in Meyersdal. I went to pray for people there. They got this beautiful house. They got this phenomenal view, but nobody can see the view because the walls are too high. How does that work? Did they put the wall there so that they could look at the wall? Or did they put the wall there because they're afraid of what's outside the wall? You see, this is what things have come to. People don't build walls because they look nice. The view is normally better than the wall. But without the wall, you've got problems. Because we've got things out there that's called thieves. There's crime. There is destruction out there. And we want to keep that out and we want to stay in our safe place. Okay, now. A wall is there for our protection. Now, how many of you believe that there is protection for your life from God? Of course, God is going to look after us. God is our protector. God is our Savior. He's our healer, our redeemer, our deliverer, and He's our protector. But now, there's the thing. God has given us some walls. When we stay within the confines of those walls, we are protected. But not everybody chooses to stay within the confines of those walls. Now, can somebody help me to understand what would the walls be that are there to protect us? Okay, let's name one. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not steal. Amen. Thou shalt not use the Lord's name in vain. Okay, that's just an example. But there's your walls. There's a lot of things in the Word. Oops, there goes my markers. There's a lot of things in the Word of God that are given to us to protect us. When God says, don't get involved in this stuff, don't do that stuff, like the Bible says, do not summon spirits. In other words, don't call on the dead. Why mustn't we call on the dead? Well, number one, they're dead. There's nothing that they got to say, no more. But number two, when you call on the dead, other things will come. Not the dead you're looking for, the thing that wants to make you dead. Because remember, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan is the thief. And when you call on him, when you open the door for him, he will come. Now, doing things like that, thank you. Doing things like that will be breaking through a wall. Let's look at just a couple of examples. You're at work. The petty cash box is in the corner. The lady with the key forgot it on the table. She's gone for some fresh air, also known as smoke break. Okay? So while she's getting a bit of fresh air, there's nobody in the office. You quickly grab the key, unlock, grab a couple of hundred rand, put it in your pocket, lock it again, put the key back exactly where it was, go sit in your office. By the time somebody realizes that there's money missing, nobody can prove who took it because there's another 50 people in the company. And in the end, the poor woman that's having some fresh air is going to probably have to pay for it. Okay, you just dug a pit for her. What does the Bible say will happen? You're the one that's going to fall into the pit. Can I tell you why you're going to fall into the pit? Because now you have broken through a wall. There's a snake on the other side of the wall. It's waiting for an opportunity, whoosh, to get you. You see, now here's the thing. Who's the thief? The devil. What did you just do? You became a thief. What did you just invite into your life? The thief. Listen to me. You can steal 200 rand, but he can steal thousands from you. So this is what happens. Tomorrow your car's engine backs up. Boom. In today's money, 30,000 rand. Enough. Oh, and then little Johnny comes home from school. Oh, Dad, by the way, somebody scaled my cell phone out of my school bag. And that's not all. I had my tablet in there as well. There goes another 20 grand. The 200 rand that you took multiplied because you brought the thief into your life. You called him to come. You see, the Bible says when you break through a wall, the wall was thou shalt not steal. You broke through it. Oh, you invited, let's call it thievery, theft, into your life. But you see, that's not the only thing that the devil's going to steal from you, because what you got to understand, even though the devil doesn't have a problem taking some of your money, he's more worried about the things money can't buy than the things money can buy. Oh, yes, he'll send some oak to come and steal your car and steal your radio and break into your house and run away with your television set. But the aim of all of that is to get to what? Well, yes, you have a point there. It's to rob you of your peace. It's to rob you of your joy. It's to mess with your sanity. It's to create within you fear and anxiety. It's to make you one of those people that, I can't leave the house. I'm scared there's things out there. It's not a good country. Let's immigrate. Let's go to this place and that place. You know, they say that the grass is greener on the other side because of the number of, or the size of, or the, amount of manure. People that run away from their problems just run to more problems, because that's not the way to deal with problems. God expects you to face them head on and work through them. Nobody that's ever ran away from a problem got away from it, because you see, if your problem is the devil, he's standing on the other side waiting for you laughing, because that's not how you get over it. You have to do the right thing. When you break through a wall, there is a snake on the other side. Like the Bible says, thou shalt not. Let's look at summoning the dead. People get involved in weird things. People get involved in spiritism, spiritualism, seances, conjuring up the dead, communicating with spirits, etc., etc. Now, even though to some extent that might be fun and it's different, it's definitely different, it has a knock-on effect, because now you've broken through a wall. Let's look at something that a lot of people believe is quite innocent, but it really isn't. Playing glossy. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you've ever played it. You know whether you did or you didn't, but it's kind of like you're sitting around a table. You've got a glass. There's a yes, there's a no. There's a couple of questions. Maybe you played with a Ouija board. There's a yes and no, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to zero. There's a A, B, C, D, E. You ask questions, the glass begins to move, or the pointer begins to move. This thing communicates with you. And yes, they do communicate. Now, I have a question for you. The thing tells you it's your great-great-grandmother, Sophie, who's looking out for your best interests, and she's got a couple of things to say. How do you know it's Sophie? Can you see what's talking to you? No, you can't. You see, that's where everything starts going cockeye. Because you got, I want to tell you something, if you could see what Sophie looks like, you would run. Because it's not Sophie. It's something else. It's probably very, very ugly. It's gross. It's horrible. And it doesn't mean good. It brings evil. But you're inviting it. You're opening a door for something to come, and you are breaking through the wall. Now, what happens after that? Things go haywire. You can't sleep. Something wakes you up every half hour. Sometimes you feel, have this feeling that you're being pinned down on the bed. Sometimes you start hearing voices calling your name, and there's nobody there, and it creates a lot of fear and fright and terror. Everything in the house begins to break. You know, I once went to pray for people that had messed with this stuff. If I remember correctly, the lightning hit their house like 3 times in 1 year. You want to tell me that's normal? No, it's not. I had another gentleman I prayed for many, many, many years ago. He was shot 3 times. 3 different times. Every time he went to a party, he got shot. Man, I would never go to a party again. I think somebody's trying to talk to me. But you know what? He invited a very destructive thing to him. And here's how it works. It has this way of attracting things to you. In Afrikaans noem ons het 'n ongeluksvoel. I don't know if there's really an English word for it. Where is Eddie? Eddie is not here when I need him. Say again? Bad luck Chuck. Okay, well, that's probably the closest we're going to get to it. But it's like that one individual, you know, it's like the black sheep of the family. Everybody else in the family seems to go somewhere, and you're like, one-way ticket down into the pit. Everything goes wrong. And this guy, he did that. He messed with things. He called up spirits. And after he called up spirits, everything in his life just began to go wrong. And yes, he was shot 3 times. Now, there was a time in his life that he felt it was just bad luck. But it wasn't bad luck. His bad luck had a name. It was called the spirit of destruction, which came because he messed with things he shouldn't have messed. But it's biblical because the Bible says when you break through a wall, you will be bitten by a snake. And you must be very careful because these snakes are venomous. They are poisonous. And once that poison comes into your life, certain things in your life begins to change. One of the things that tends to happen is you suddenly attract a lot of bad luck. Everything just breaks. One day, I met a gentleman. True story. He was very involved in the New Age. Now, because he was involved in the New Age, he believed in reincarnation. So, I sat and I had a chat with a guy, and he was trying to convert me to the New Age. That was never going to happen. But it was interesting to hear what they believe and what they get up to, etc., etc. And he was telling me about reincarnation, etc. And I noticed that he had this huge crystal hanging around his neck. So I say to him, I say, now, what is the purpose now of this crystal? He says, oh, you know, the thing is, everything in the universe has to be balanced. And now and then things go out of balance, and my life is not very well balanced, so I'm wearing this crystal to fine-tune my whatever harmonics, blah, blah, something, so that I can come in line with the universe. I say to him, okay, and how's that working for you? He says, oh, you don't believe the problems I have. He says, no, this is true, this happened. The first week that he wore the crystal, he was in an accident. The gate closed on his car, and all sorts of things blew up in his house. I say, now explain to me, how does that help your cause? He says, no, you don't understand. While things get tuned, everything goes weird, but later on it'll get better. Well, if that works for you, what must I say? But the fact is, I can tell you now, nothing got better. Because, you know what? God can't bless that. You're breaking through a wall. You're calling things that you should never call. I went to this one home. There was a poltergeist in the house. It was like really bad things happening in this house. So I go there, now we're going to go and pray for these people. So I walk in the front door, and here's this pork chop hanging. A pork chop. Here's this pork chop hanging by the front door. And it's been there for a while, so it's got a bit of a whiff. I can't help but notice this thing, so you know, I pass there, and I didn't ask questions right there. You know, one doesn't want to be rude, so we went through the house and we prayed. Now we get to the kitchen where the pork chop is hanging. So I say to the lady, "Ma'am, I don't want to be funny or anything, but what is this?" She says, "Oh no, that's to keep the spirits out." I say, "But you've just been telling me all the things that's going wrong in your house. So how does that work then?" No, she doesn't know, but somebody told her that if she puts it there, things are going to get better. I said, okay, just stop right there. Just think for me. Since you've put this thing there, has it got better or worse? Oh, it got worse. I say, take it down. You know, God can't bless that. If you have faith, your faith must be in God. Your faith must be in Christ. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And they that come to God must believe that He exists and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now here's the thing. When you're dealing with spiritual problems, do not put your faith in man-made things and do not put your faith in occultic things. Like spiritism, spiritualism, witchcraft, sorcery, the occult, good luck charms. Because that is just going to bring more problems into your life. One day, I go to another house. They've also got really bad things going on there. I'll never forget, I get into the master bedroom, and the first thing that I notice, the windows are open, and they've got this big picture window, and there in the middle of the picture window is a Bible taped to the window. literally duct tape all over the Bible, but I can still see it's a Bible. I look at this, I say, what's this? The woman says to me, no, the spirit that comes into the house always comes through this window. So now we've put the Bible there to keep the spirit out. I say, okay. Tell me, did the spirit stay out because the Bible is there? Oh, no, he still comes back in. I say, yes, he's going to come back in because that's like a ritual. Rituals don't work. Faith works. There's a difference. You got to have faith. Another place I went to pray once, this girl had a spirit that tormented her at night. And so she used to sleep with the Bible open on Psalm 91. Believing that because Psalm 91 is open, the spirit is going to stay away. So the first night, nothing happens. The second night, nothing happens. The third night, she gets attacked by the spirit. The morning when she reads the Bible, it was moved from Psalm 91 to some obscure verse in the Bible that speaks of the doom and gloom and destruction that will come. The next night, she puts the Bible on Psalm 91 again. She gets attacked by the spirit. When she looks, it's got the same verse speaking of doom, gloom, and destruction. She had to learn a lesson. Rituals don't deal with the works of darkness. Faith in God and in Christ and in the complete work of the cross, that will give you victory over the forces of darkness. Now, I wanted to share this because this is very important. You know, with all due respect to us all, sometimes we mess around with things that we shouldn't be messing around with. And we've got this thing that, you know what, what's the worst that can happen? Well, when you start breaking through the wall, the other side of the wall has plenty serpents. In fact, the Bible speaks of serpents and scorpions. And you do not want to break through the wall because then there is an opening for what was outside to come inside. It brings a lot of destruction. We are busy talking on curses. I'm busy trying to help you to understand that curses are a reality. You know, we still deal with a lot of people that serve God, that when they are confronted with these things, they treat it as rubbish, nonsense, insignificant. I don't have to deal with it because it's not part of my life. But it is. You see, curses must be real because God speaks about them in the Bible. You know, if there wasn't any reference to these things, if the only people that ever spoke about curses were witches and wizards and sangomas and witch doctors and whatever, then I would say, okay, fine, let's leave that alone because it's got nothing to do with us. But there's plenty reference to these things in the Bible. In fact, the Bible goes so far as in the book of Galatians chapter 3 to tell us that Jesus Christ became a curse for us on the cross. That we no longer have to suffer under the curse, but that we may inherit the blessings of Abraham. What is your rightful inheritance? Based on what I just said. Okay, don't trust me. Let me read it to you. Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to read to you verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, and so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, that scripture clearly states, Jesus Christ became a curse for who? For you. For you and you and you. Now, if God did not believe that you could be under a curse, why on earth would he let his son take your curse? Have you ever thought about that? Because you see, that's what a lot of people miss. When you say, these things are nonsense, these things are not real, you are making light of and fun of what Jesus had to endure on the cross. now you're going to be in trouble. It's biblical. These things are real. And there's a lot of people in this world that battle under some kind of a curse. God doesn't want you to battle under the curse. God says your rightful inheritance is the blessings of Abraham. Amen? Amen. If you're sitting here and you're 100 years old, you might be blessed with many children. Okay, you're too slow. You didn't catch that one. But the fact of the matter is, God says His heart is for you to be blessed. Now, when you look at the reality, there are a lot of people in this world that when you look at their life, you can't see that. They're not blessed. Everything that can go wrong goes wrong all the time. Problems, problems, problems. We take one step forward, two steps back. One step forward, three steps back. And what happens then? We become frustrated. We become irritated. We become disillusioned. And I think you said it just now, or you said it. Then we begin to turn our back on God. That's when people come to the place where they say, "Ah, you know what, this whole Christianity thing doesn't work for me because I've just got problems, problems, problems. If that's the way it is, I'll just go back to the world and just live like a heathen." Which is wrong. Because the fact is, there is a solution. The solution is in God's word, and we apply it by faith. But that also creates a problem because a lot of people battle to understand the concept of faith. Faith is acting upon something even though you don't see any results, believing that it will come to pass. Amen? And when we begin to step out in faith, let's take Peter. It's a good example. You all know the story of Peter when he was in the boat. The disciples are all in the boat. They're crossing the lake. And suddenly, there is this violent storm that erupts. Apparently, in that area, because of the way it is and because of the mountains and the way the wind can suddenly just come up, a storm can literally appear like that. And they can be very, very destructive. So they are in the lake and they are busy crossing over. And the next moment there's this massive storm. These huge waves are coming. The boat is going to capsize at any moment. And they all begin to freak out. They're all convinced that they're going to die. And then here comes Jesus walking on the water. I don't know what they were more afraid of, the storm or the ghost on the water. It probably took them a while to calm down. But eventually they figure out, okay, this is Jesus. And then Peter, interestingly enough, Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, if it is really you, then let me walk, let me come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." Now, first thing that I like is Peter's reaction. Peter says, "Lord, if you can do it, I want to do it too." He's not afraid. You know, today Christians are afraid. When the power of God moves in a church, everybody runs out the door. We need more Peters that say, "Lord, I want that." Too many people are like, "Ooh, that's not for me." Well, Peter's attitude was the right attitude. Who's the disciple that walked past the sick people and his shadow made them whole? It was Peter. Why? Because Peter wanted to experience the power of God. So, Jesus says to him, "Come." Peter takes a step onto the water. And he's fine. He takes another step onto the water. And he's fine. You see, the thing is, as long as his focus was on Christ, he was fine. But this is my take on it. Then the devil tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, stop right there. "Have you noticed that you're walking on water? Huh? Did you see the size of the waves? Huh? The wind. And by the way, do you know that all of this is impossible?" Oh. And the moment he takes his eyes off Christ, And he begins to see the size of the problem. And he no longer has faith in the one that makes the impossible possible. He begins to sink. And that's how it goes in all of our lives. God wants us to operate by faith. When we operate by faith, even the impossible will become possible. But you see, the devil, if there's one thing that the devil is allergic to, Satan is allergic to faith. And he will do whatever he can to get you to give up your faith, to no longer look in faith at Christ and take the word of God at face value as fact and see the storm. Now let's be very honest. Every single one of you here today has some storm brewing in your life right now. The devil wants with everything in him for you to be focusing on the waves, on the wind, on the problem, on the disaster, instead of focusing on God. Because you see, when you focus on Christ, you walk on. Or in a sense, over the problem, because the water was the problem. Faith in Christ makes you walk over it. Faith in the problem makes you sink under it. And that's the way these things go. It's never going to change. So yes, I know that there's storms in your life. Jesus said, in this world, we will have troubles. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Jesus said there will be storms, but Jesus is the one that can calm any storm. And sometimes he doesn't want to calm the storm, he wants you to walk over it. Is it possible? Yes, it is. But it is all determined by where your focus is. You know, Satan wants our focus to be in something else. He doesn't want your focus to be on Christ. Oh, yeah, listen, yeah, let me tell you something. I can't say nothing good about the devil, but one thing I can tell you, hy werk bloody hard, okay? He's not lazy. He works hard. He's very busy in your life right now. He's very busy in your life right now. He's very busy in my life right now. But my focus still needs to be on the right place. Because don't you think for one second that God doesn't work hard in your life as well. You see, here's the thing. There was a boat. There was waves, there was wind, there was a storm, and there was Jesus. And the devil whispering in his ear. It's not like Jesus wasn't there. Jesus was there. But because his focus was in the wrong place, he came down. Now, today, I sort of wanted to speak to you on the curse of jealousy. But I first have to check how much time I have left. How much time have I got left? I've got 20 minutes. It's not nearly enough. So let's just say for today, it is possible for me as a child of God to have some curse upon my life. There's nothing in the Bible that says I can't be under a curse. The fact that God allowed his son to become a curse on the cross to deliver me from the curse means that God foresaw I would be under a curse at some point in time, and there must be a way out. There must be a solution. Now, I want to say to you, I don't care what the curse upon your life is right now, there is a solution. But you got to bring yourself to the place that you can receive that solution. And therefore, we have to apply the truth as given to us from the Word of God. It says in John 8 verse 32, you shall know the truth. If you are my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, here's a very interesting thing. A lot of people like to talk about the Bible, but they know nothing about the Bible. Just the other day, I had somebody, some very clever oak, arguing with me about the Bible, and I want to tell you something, he knows next to nothing. And all his arguments are based on what other people have argued in his ears. But he's never bothered to go and check what the Word of God says about any of these things. That is not the truth that will set you free. That is pretty much a lie. If it's not in here, it's not truth. And if it's not truth, it is what? It must be a lie, because there's either truth or lie. But now the thing is, it says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. What if you reject the truth? What if the truth is in God's word, but you're like, ah, it doesn't work like that. Ah, that's rubbish. That's nonsense. Oh, God will never allow that, which is what a lot of people argue. Can the truth set you free? No, because you're rejecting the truth. Let me show you something interesting. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Listen to this. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What knowledge is he talking about? Knowledge of God, knowledge about God's word. And then he says, because you have rejected this knowledge, I will also reject you as my priests. Big problem. When we choose to willingly reject the truth of God's word, God says, I will reject you. There's a lot of people that can be helped, but because of their attitude, the help is not available to them. Oh, no, let me put it to you this way. Help is always available to us, but our attitude can sometimes stop us from receiving such help. I have shared this before, but I want to share it again today because I think it just fits in with what we're talking about. I had a family phone me a couple of years ago. They had a family member, the father of the family. There was something not lekker in his life. The wife believed that there was a demon messing with him. And she was very, very correct. He started getting all weird. He started sort of turning the Bible to suit what he wanted from it. He sort of almost used the word of God from a point of view of witchcraft. He was always using the word to force people to do stuff, but he was taking it completely out of context. He was doing stupid things. And he had this thing that, in a sense, he was some chosen one, that God had chosen him, and therefore he could do things that nobody else could do. It was a bit weird, but it was a religious spirit, a spirit of error, a spirit of deceit. And so now, this family had been through this now for a period of 6 months, and I get the phone call. Please, can I come and pray for this man? Now, they tell me the story. I say, okay, why isn't the man phoning me? Oh, no, he won't phone you because according to him, he's like some angel or I don't even know, whatever. I said, okay, but then, yeah, we have a problem because if he won't phone me to pray for him, then when I go there, he's not going to want me to pray for him. In fact, he's going to probably have a big problem with me being there. No, no, please, you don't understand. You don't understand. We got big problems. Yeah, you have to help us. What? Normally, I don't get involved in things like that at all. But now I know these people, so now they are playing the friendship card. Please, you know, we've been friends for so long. And you know what? Against my better judgment, I said, okay, fine. I go to this person's house. Taking into account, according to his wife, according to his son, and according to his daughter, there's now big problems. Oh, he's all happy to see me, blah, blah, blah. Now, in the conversation, it comes out he has no idea why I am there. The family hasn't prepared him at all. They're like, Rian must come here and something must happen. And I said to him, okay, so how have you been? Blah, blah, this, that, what, what. And no, he's doing well. We start talking. We get onto the subject of the word of God. And yeah, he starts with all of his stuff. But like really cockeye stuff. And so I began to speak to him about this. In seconds, an argument erupts. I'm trying to get him to understand that this is not right. He's like, who the hell do you think you are? There's an argument. There's a confrontation. And then his wife, please, please, you know what? You know, you're making life very difficult for everybody. Please, something is not right. And I said to the family, guys, look, I would really love to help, but this is not going to work because the gentleman has to, from his side, want help. And right now, according to him, he's got no problem. So I got up to leave. As I'm on my way out the door, the wife is like, please, please, you have to help us. I said, ma'am, I would love to help you, but right now all I can do is pray for you, because if he doesn't want help for himself, then God's also not going to do nothing now. He's got a will. He must make a decision. I left. So the wife and the two people that took me there decided, okay, fine, they're going to confront this thing. Do you know what happened that night? Two of them ended up in hospital. The spirit in this man went mad, went berserk. He started breaking down that whole house. He put two women in hospital that night because he wasn't ready to deal with the rubbish. I can't even remember why I went, for some reason why I wanted to share this with you, but fact of the matter is, oh, truth. The truth will set you free. The man wouldn't hear the truth. When I confronted him with the word of God and the truth, he would take it all and turn it and twist it in his own kind of like ridiculous way. And he wouldn't accept the truth. Therefore, he could not be set free. Unfortunately, that is a reality. And that is why you and I, when it comes to the word of God, open your heart. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, today when you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. You know, sometimes we sit in church and there's a word that goes out. And sometimes that word is specifically speaking to us. But we're like, no, I'm fine. I hope Paulo's listening, because he needs to hear this stuff. But me, I'm okay. Do not harden your heart. If the word of God is talking to you, humble yourself. You know, the Bible says, humble yourself before God and he will lift you or raise you up. If you're in a pit and you want to be lifted up, you've got to humble yourself. You got to say, Lord, I messed up. I'm sorry. I made nonsense. Call a spade a spade. I have an attitude. I have a temper. I'm jealous. I'm full of bitterness. I'm full of unforgiveness. Lord, I'm sorry. A lot of people, when they have to deal with stuff, are always blaming everybody around them. I'm like this because of that one, and I'm like this because of that one. Forget about that one and that one. God wants to work with you. What role do you play in all of this? And what are you willing to do to make things different? You got to change. You know, Sunday at church, we spoke on repentance. And I quoted you a scripture. I can't remember the scripture now, but I quoted a scripture that spoke of when people are not willing to repent, that they walk around like blind ones, like the blindest. Isaiah 59. In fact, thank you, Georgie. Let's just quickly look at that. Isaiah chapter 59. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. Okay. Good news for anybody here that's got some big problem or you feel stuck or whatever. The arm of the Lord is not too short to save. Nor is his ear too dull to hear. In other words, God says, I do hear you when you complain and you pray and you whatever. But there's a but here. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. God says, the problem here is not me. I hear you and I see the problem. But there's a problem with you that's pushing you away from me. Okay? And then he says, your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue mutters wicked things, no one calls for justice. And so he goes on and on and on. If we have things that we are too proud to deal with or too stubborn to admit or to acknowledge, if we are not willing to humble ourselves before God, a lot of times we cannot get help. But I want to give you some good news. If you are willing to deal with all of these things, if you're willing to call a spade, if you come to a place where you say, Lord, I'm willing to repent, I want to change my life, boom, the power of God is going to move. Because never forget, God is a father. And a father loves his children and he cares for them. Amen. And God is well able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ever ask, hope, or dream. If you walk in faith and in obedience, if you have an attitude of humility, and if you are willing to change, the power of God is still available. The first part of the scripture says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short. The arm of the Lord refers to the power of God that needs to intervene in your life. There's a lot of people here tonight, you need the power of God to intervene in your life. And God will. God will. Honor God. Bless God. Walk in faith. Anyway, I didn't get to my sermon tonight. This was sort of miscellaneous ramblings, but probably this is what somebody here needed to hear. And I trust that God blessed you. Amen? Amen. Did somebody learn something? Yeah. Give the Lord a hand.